Hey, everybody. This is Dan, finally back in Japan. And well, it's still in the future since for many of you, it's still the morning of the 5th. And for me, it's the evening. Just for example, young Joe on my left here. Well, he's on my left, but he can't really see us because we didn't have video today. Well, just some technical difficulties, but, you know, we decided to kind of bring it raw to you anyway. But just trust me on this. Joe's on my left. He's drinking coffee. It's early morning in Colorado, in the mountains of the wilderness that he lives in. And so, yeah, I'm talking to you from the future. I'm talking to Joe from the future, actually, right now. So say hi to everybody, Joe.
Yeah, morning, everybody. Sorry we're late. I see there's a question. Do we ever foresee a time, maybe in 2023, possibly this decade, when the live stream starts on time? Maybe we can add that to Earthflip, make it a betting game. We'll try.
Well, see, Joe, I was thinking about that actually. I saw the comment, and I was thinking, well, you know, time is actually just a man-made concept, and really everybody perceives times differently, which is the reason why they created this unified kind of measure of time of periods past. And I mean, really, I think that we do start on time. We start on our time. See, for us, it's on time. It's just the right time to start. You see, you shouldn't really rush greatness. That's what I always say. So, yes, thank you, Joe. Joe Halton, not Joe Armenio, but Joe Halton. Thank you as well, Joe Armenio, but for other things. Thank you, Joe Halton, for your support. Anywho, so our first AMA of the new year. Again, no video, but it's okay. We're all still here. Here and not just in spirit, and with us we have none other than Mr. Kushti Alex. Say hi to everyone, Alex.
Hi everyone, my pleasure to be here again.
And that was actually, if you heard the meowing, that was not Alex, that was Leo. He's here as well. He's kind of protesting that he can't sit on my lap right now, but he's going to have to deal with it today. Just a little bit too cluttered right here. Anyway, getting into the new year, got a lot of stuff lined up. I mean, we obviously were just coming off the holidays, so there wasn't a lot of movement during the holidays per se, although we did have some things. Like, for example, we are actually in the final stages of formalizing a relationship with the university that I spoke about that will be hosting Ergo Curriculum. I also spoke and will most likely be doing an Ergo course at a education center university in Turkey as well. Most likely the same curriculum, and then also creating a course that's more advanced. So basically something that will teach Ergo Script, and so it's more geared towards developers. And the first course is geared more towards just business people, so that the first blockchain they do any kind of blockchain stuff on is Ergo. Therefore, they will be a lot more inclined to stay in the ecosystem, I think. Other than that, so we're starting back up with, picking things up. First of all, with the exchange list things we spoke about, which that's definitely, an ongoing process, work in progress. I had a meeting about that today. We're getting back into that. It's probably going to take a few weeks for us to kind of get back on track as far as where we're with the conversations, but nevertheless, we get so that's also that we that's also something we're concentrating on. Another aspect or another point that I and some of the team have been really concentrating on is, of course, bringing more ecosystem funding to get projects going and to basically bring more adoption to Ergo, to projects building on Ergo. So with that, I spoke with an incubator, again out of Turkey, and then another one out of Thailand. As well as I'm also speaking to a few in Europe and the US, the one in Thailand and the one in Turkey are the kind of the most advanced in the conversations that I've been having. And so again, these are incubators that will dedicate to incubating projects on Ergo. And then we'll of course work with the existing ecosystem. And again, I know it's coming at you kind of fast. So I'm sorry, Marty, but Marty, I will connect you. Marty from ErgoPad is the Marty I'm talking to. I will be connecting these incubators with ErgoPad and with basically our losers in the ecosystem so that we can all cooperate and get more people building on Ergo, because that's what it's all about. So yeah, other than that, just kind of, keeping on. And, okay, so let's go to Joe. Joe, what's been going on with you?
It's been a busy week. Yesterday we had a really substantial update from the community. We'll be putting out a video this weekend. As we roll into the new year, we'll put together the roadmap for 6.0, working with Alex. I know you dropped a Prism update on the forum that I would recommend anybody interested read. We also have a lot of community growth at the moment where things are kind of on the precipice of coming out. So it's good to work together as a community to try to support a lot of dApp development and good ideas that are going to be pushed to market pretty soon.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, Alex, any updates from you for the new year?
Development wise, things are going as usually, depending on holidays. There is working. Pretty stable, actually, already implementation of bootstrapping with UTXO snapshot. So you can try it by building from a branch. There will be a not release, a minor one, next week. And bootstrapping with UTXO set snapshots, then Nipo pose, and also additional indexes. Next big updates. We are discussing what could be done for 6.0, still it's kind of early research. And in regards with ecosystem development, there are a lot of actually news which can be covered. Will be covered with. Dev update, which will be out in a few days. Yes.
All right, let's hop into the questions, Dan. I think he muted himself.
I did mute myself, and not intentionally either. I just been kind of talking, and I'm like, wait a second, why is Joe so non-responsive? Anywho, yeah, let's get to the questions. All right, so let's see. This is a good question for you, Joe, actually. So let's start with this one. What are some of the biggest challenges you face as a development manager in the blockchain industry? And I think more specifically, let's be more specific in the Ergo ecosystem, I would say.
Sure. I would say One thing that has shifted a lot is there's a lot of projects that basically are brought to market with a lot of treasury funding that kind of allows them to create a certain adoption without much in the back end, right? So there's a ton of projects, built on top of a variety of blockchains where they come, they have a token, they have a great marketing campaign, they have a ton of treasury and not much in terms of actual deliverables. And that tends to create a fee market in a lot of the infrastructure and industry. You could look at exchanges, you can look at the media. A lot of it breaks down to just who's willing to pay the most, right? And being that Ergo is kind of a organically driven ecosystem, it creates a certain disincentive for us in terms of working with some of the external partners, because the priority is always who's going to cut that short-term check. And, it's unfortunate. I think that as an industry, we have had a tendency to go through these, let's call it hype cycles, where there's a lot of people that are chasing returns on promises, right? We'll ship, soon, TM. Even though we have a lot of technical depth, we have a pretty strong ecosystem and tech stack, most of the industry doesn't care. What's popular is flashy and sexy, but that always has a tendency to have a short-term arc, right? So even though it is a short-term disadvantage, I think that long-term it does trend in our favor as people get disillusioned, because there's a lot of empty promises that are made in this industry that never quite come to fruition. So in the short term, I would call it a negative. In the long term, a lot of people come across Ergo and they say, look at the variety of the tool set that they're capable of. And, this is kind of amazing that you have all of these different products, projects, and tools that are live versus there's a lot of things that are bigger than us that just run on hype and promises.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely how I feel as well. And really, I've seen a lot of kind of correlations made between or parallels maybe between what's happening in crypto right now and with blockchain right now to the dot-com boom. Now, while some aspects are not like the dot-com boom, because that was a fundamental shift in in ground tech, right? So infrastructure tech, where crypto is more and blockchain is more sector specific, I would say, but it doesn't discount its paradigm shifting significance. But just the internet itself was just a huge leap. It was like the Industrial Revolution. Basically, that's what it felt like. It was the information revolution. But as far as business goes, there are a lot of similarities. And what Joe just touched on, and yeah, this is what what I agree on, Joe, is in the short term, there's going to be a lot of hype. There's going to be projects that will take top dollar to go to whatever chain, to do whatever they want on there. And actually I commented on that. Personally, I think that's just grifting. I think that making your business decision solely on who cuts you the biggest check, if you're going to build on your technology, basically these guys are cutting me the biggest checks, so I'm going to build on their technology. That's not a sustainable business model. That is doomed to fail. Because if you're solving a problem, then your solution should be based on these architectural choices, on these ecosystem choices, on all of these things that really, who gives slips you the fattest envelope under the table just does not accomplish. So yeah, you know, being in the Ergo ecosystem and seeing, you know, whatever, like Polygon or whatever, you know, dump money into everybody's lap. Oh, here you go. Here, you know, here's 5 mil. Here's a mil. Here's a half a mil. You know, do this, do that, do that. You know, look, if this is sustainable for them because they got more money than Ergo. And this is not just, Polygon. I just brought that as an example. Other chains do that all the time. It's sustainable while your pot is big, right? But it's not sustainable in the long term if your technological stack is not up to spec. If you cannot sustain this growth, is the same thing as we saw with TVL, where you know you had all these artificially inflated TVL numbers that are basically just, you know, pay to play TVL, which meant nothing. It was complete BS. And in the end, what does it do? I mean, it doesn't really do much for the for prices or anything, or for value of the actual product, the actual blockchain. I mean, it just dumps with everything else. So, yeah, short term, yeah, it is kind of irritating to see that kind of stuff, because you think, come on, guys, you know, you're not going to be able to do what you're trying to do on that chain. You know it. You know, they're not decentralized enough. They don't have enough tooling. They don't have their security. You're just begging for something to get screwed up, you know? But yeah, they'll still go there. They'll still do stuff there. They'll still fail. But in the end, it's all about building up your thrust as an ecosystem, because, with all the stuff falling, you know, crashing down around you, you still remain standing. Well, sooner or later, people are going to say, hey, you know, these guys are still here. They've been building for years. Their stuff hasn't been hacked. Their stuff hasn't been compromised. They're not, they don't have any tooling debt. And yeah, in the long term, you know, if you just keep doing what you're doing, if Ergo keeps doing what it's doing, it will prevail. It's stick-to-itiveness. You know, it's all about, you know, just keeping on your path, and about building, and about consistency, and in consistency and quality and delivery. And that's what Ergo is all about. And that this is why I strongly believe that in the end, Ergo will prevail. What are your thoughts on that, Alex?
I think it's already shown that many promising blockchain projects failed, right? Ergo they're doing pretty much okay, right? So ecosystem is been developing, and miners are here, and things are going according to algorithms, right, behind them. Like emission and so on. And I think this will continue. So some buzzing projects will come and go. And protocols and ecosystem will just continue to work, right, and continue to expand.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I saw a nice follow-up question about this, but anyway, let's go to this question here, and for Kushti, and then we can come back when I find it. So what does Kushti think about AI and blockchain and how it can work together going into the future?
Oh, I don't know. So I think AI is something off chain, right? And will be if some project is claiming anything about building AI on top of the blockchain, right? This probably not realistic. Just Yeah, in regards with off-chain parts, so yeah, it could be quite useful, right? Maybe in some cases, but yeah, it's the same as kind of the generic financial instrument, right? And instrument of for analysis of financial data and so on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go. Actually, I did find the question here or the follow up. I mean, I guess we already kind of elaborated on this, but I just kind of I'll touch back on this. So Joe Hamilton says that crypto projects seem happy to sacrifice centralization for performance. What do you think it will take for people in general to recognize the importance of fundamentals of a blockchain over hype? I mean, I personally think, again, it's going to be all about the stick-to-itiveness and all about... you know, just watching other projects crash and burn because they made the wrong choice. You know, it's kind of like that one scene in Indiana Jones: The Last Crusade. You know, when the bad guy goes and chooses the wrong cup and turns to dust. You know, he chose poorly, and then Indiana Jones chooses the right cup. He chose wisely because he thought about the fundamentals of what would a cup that would belong to, you know, to, I guess in that case, Jesus look like. So, I mean, it's the same, it's kind of the same philosophy here where, or the same thinking here. You see enough people get hacked, screw up, not deliver, not be sustainable. Sooner or later, you know, it doesn't matter how pretty the square wheel manufacturers make the square wheel look, it's still not as good as the round wheel. That's just the bottom line. Yeah, they can hype it up. Yeah, they can throw money at people to make it look like they have, you know, they have traction. But in the end, it's all going to be down to what works and what has the track record to show that it works. Ergo works. Ergo has the track record to show that it works. Ergo, like I said, has the tooling, has the ecosystem to show that it works. The development, you know, the team building, constantly building, it works, right? It's obvious it works because the team is constantly building. There's projects, real projects, community built projects, not something where somebody went out and just got, you know, $20 million to build some bullshit that really has no utility, but it kind of looks nice and shiny. No, this is real stuff. You know, people just go on there. They use the tools. They build DeFi. They build games. They build, you know, they do Web3 NFT stuff. I mean, all sorts of stuff. Look, if this was just hype, right? If Ergo was just hype, this would not be possible. The robustness of the projects on Ergo that are here right now and that are coming to Ergo would not be possible. The project that I'm building, Palmyra, would not be possible if Ergo was hype. I would not choose hype. This is one of the reasons why I chose Ergo, not because of my involvement with being the strategic advisor to the Ergo Foundation, but because as a businessman, I made the decision that. And my team has made the decision that Ergo is the best blockchain to utilize for what for basically what we're trying to build. And that's what counts in the end. Just for some people, it's going to take a little longer. But in the end, you know what? Fundamentals, I mean, look, we all want to kind of think about, we all want to believe that in the end, you know, everybody's going to be as passionate as we are about what the blockchain movement is about and what the fundamentals are about and, you know, what we're trying to do with the bigger picture. I am an optimist. So I think there's going to be quite a few people that really will get it. You know, they will get it. They will get that, you know, it's all about connecting the unconnected. It's all about banking the unbanked, all these good things. But in the end, you can't really expect the average person to have this grand vision, understand the grand vision. You just have to expect for them to see that this works. It works for their business. It is decentralization is security and it is performance. In fact, true decentralization, I believe, is it's a lot more efficient than a centralized system in many ways. It's a lot more secure than a centralized system in many ways. And these things are important to a business. You know, security, performance, robustness are important to a business. And if you have this, then those are going to make a business decision. They're going to say, this is a secure, robust, easy to use chain that does what I needed to do. That's just how it's going to be. And I think that this is what's going to happen in the end. This is a right business decision in the end. There's nothing that needs to be sold for this. It's just a matter of time. So what are your thoughts on that, Joe?
I tend to look at actual decentralized blockchains as a type of open economy, right? And if I look at it from the perspective of an economy rather than a single business, I think a lot of the corporate gimmick, brand strategies and all of that stuff is just a little ridiculous, right? And it just goes to show that there's one entity that's like kind of cutting the checks and controlling the fate of that company rather than economy. In terms of performance, it's just an extension of that. You know, if you look at an actual decentralized ecosystem, the goal is to have people that are running infrastructure, right? That's in essence what a decentralized system is localized power where you can, you know, audit and interact with that particular economy without permission. I don't know, the mass user has really shifted to where I think most of them see it just as a company, right? And so if you see a blockchain as a company, it's like, hey, why wouldn't you want to pay X million dollars to create some exterior partnership with somebody that's popular, you know, or kind of control the fate and destiny of the ecosystem, right? If you look at it more as an open and permissionless economy, then it's a matter of building the tools and kind of mechanisms to support people that come in and want to use that economy, right? And I think that having the freedom for them to improvise and create their own vision, their own goals, their own projects, without needing to fit within some brand strategy or corporate umbrella is a good thing. You know, it, oftentimes what it creates is basically a walled system, right? Where you have to kind of go to the central party, for funding, for support, for marketing. And I don't know. I think that's ultimately going to fail because it just creates point of failure, right? You can look at Bitcoin as a good example. It actually did start in a very decentralized and pretty organic way. And the fact that it's been able to pivot and reinvent itself. And, even though in some cases it's really failed to deliver some of what it's promised, shows a certain resilience, right? Versus if it's just one foundation that's holding the majority of, power or stake or funding for creating that type of partnership or business. Now everybody's competing with whoever they're white gloving into the ecosystem. And that's really not so decentralized. That's basically what we have already in the grander economy. What's your take, Alex?
I pretty much agree. So I'm not so. I think in 2023, after some dramatic events in the so-called crypto industry, people are starting challenging the status quo, And well, what's what's industry players are actually doing? What are well values right behind it? What values should be? And so on. So I think in 2023 we will see well more and more insights being appeared around well and spread via so-called opinion leaders. Then yeah, I think at some point well. Protocols like Ergo will get a significant boost, right? Because, well, after the current stage of challenging things, well, there will be also a stage where answers will questions will get answers, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people
right.
have seen the back.
Yeah, I mean it's non-linear progress after all, right? So there is some linear components, right? When people getting stick to the proper foundations, right? And good protocols, good money, after all, they eventually drives out. But there is also a explosive component. Right at some point, been realized.
All right. Okay. So let. Oh, this is actually a good question from Wendy Moon. Okay. Well, I'll okay. So this is a two-part question. I'm just going to read the first part because it can only show the first part, but the second part is also really important, I think. So, what is the ideal future on off-ramp setup to truly bank the unbanked? And the second part, I really think that this is has to be one question: is can we decentralize on off-ramps? So, Joe, why don't you take a stab at this one?
Well, I think that in an ideal world, a lot of that on-off ramp would be somewhat like local credit unions rather than one behemoth company that tends to attract most liquidity. I think that having kind of more of local resilience is probably the ideal future. That way, depending on jurisdiction and changes and whatever external pressures are, you know, it would be more resilient, right? So, hopefully, you know, as this industry progresses, we kind of move away from, you know, let's say we have an industry right now, you know, probably what 80% of the liquidity goes to Binance, right? That's not so decentralized and not so resilient. So in my opinion, in terms of creating that type of ramping system, it would be putting together a model that works and trying to plug it in as a diverse and resilient a way as possible.
So what are your thoughts on that, Alex?
On banking the unbanked, you mean?
Well, banking the unbanked decentralized on off-ramp.
Decentralized on an off-ramp is probably the most needed thing right now, right? for Ergo. If not most needed right now, then yeah, definitely needed and would be most needed in observable future on bank the unbanked. This is still very much needed. But also, maybe the term is not proper, right? Because it's kind of It's kind of a top-down approach, right? So basically, like someone will create banks, right, for people still unbanked by using new technology. But actually, it should be bottom-up, right? So tools should be provided to replace the need for banks, right? If we are talking about places where bank industry is not working. Recently I saw a number for Central African Republic, by the way. So just 1% of population there is banked, right? So 99% needed for something different, right? And not for a new kind of bank, right? I think so.
Yeah, I think, I think the term itself is basically, you know, it's more of kind of it's a marketing term. Because really to explain it the way you did, which is actually exactly what it is, it should be a bottom-up approach. It should be a decentralized approach where when you're saying banking the unbanked, basically the connotation with the word bank is a centralized institution that does financial stuff, right? So, when we're saying we're going to bank the unbanked, yeah, to somebody who doesn't really know what the blockchain movement is about, they're kind of thinking, well, wait a second, so you're going to make banks for them, or you're going to get them into a bank, or make it easier for them to get a bank account? Well, no, we're it's the opposite. We're actually going to get them away from that, away from needing to be in that, you know, centralized juggernaut that makes these big financial decisions for them without really much input or much say from them. And we're going to give them the power to access decentralized finance. So I guess you could say maybe finance the unfinanced. But then again, it's a difficult slogan to create to really to kind of really hit the nail on the head, because it's a complex problem, and it's going to be a complex solution, we just need to really be prepared for that. That in one blockchain, one product is not going to solve all these issues. It's going to be a combined effort over many years, a cooperation between ecosystems the ones that really will understand that this is what it's about and will deliver solutions that will kind of plug in these holes and plug in this this debt that is there right now. Say, you know, one of the reasons why Cardano was so adamant about being in Africa is just like what Alex said. There's just so many people in Africa that don't have access to these financial services. Huge amounts. And so what do? Do you create an even bigger banking? Do you boost the legacy system, which obviously was not sufficient enough to accommodate all these people, and it won't be. Unless you print more money, and that doesn't work. You know, that's the whole point. You can't print more money. So what do? Well, you create a decentralized economy that is not really that, that incestuously dependent on just one entity, one giant entity, like a central bank. Or a couple of banks. You know, it's more decentralized. It's more, it's more power to the people. I mean, that's really the way to do it. So let's maybe touch on the second part of the question here, Alex. So, okay, well, I mean, yeah, you said that we need a decentralized on-off ramp on Ergo. So how would one go about designing one? I think actually quite a few people are unclear on that, at least the ones that I've spoken to, when they say, well, you know, you got DEXs, but you but all these on-off ramps are centralized. How do you do a decentralized on-off ramp? So what are your thoughts on that? What is the best way to get that done?
All right. So there are different tools already available, right? Like, well, from Binance P2P to, well, and other services like HODL and so on, to BISC, right, which is already listing Ergo, but you need for Bitcoin to get ERG. So first you need to get Bitcoin with cash, right, from some local provider, and only then get into ERG. But yeah, even that could be quite good. And yeah, actually, there are talks on the forum on building a smart contract powered version of BISC, but then there is a problem with marketing, right, getting users and liquidity there. So yeah, well, it's kind of a huge work, right? And maybe not even technical, mostly. Right, so yeah, there is chicken and egg problem here, obviously. But yeah, slowly but surely, I guess it's possible to get a lot of options to on-ramp and off-ramp. Right, around the globe, well, in many places, at least.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's. Let's go to this one. This is actually a good question here. So, but I guess maybe Joey, why don't you tackle this one? I mean, all of us can, but I think Joe would be a good one to start with. So Bison Buffalo is asking, is there any centralized stablecoin options coming to Ergo? Any significant L1 will eventually have both decentralized and centralized stablecoins. So what do you think on that, Joe?
Well, I'll start from the beginning. On the back end, one of the things that most centralized stablecoins will want is the ability to censor transactions, right? And that's not something that is a problem I want to solve for them. In a way, I think that if a centralized stablecoin wants to try to build that functionality, they can do that if they have the tooling, right? And it's an open ecosystem, they're welcome to. My personal opinion is that there's three huge risks that everybody overlooks because centralized stablecoins are sexy and they're a little bit more economically efficient. The first risk is that you basically are putting your faith in a trusted party that they have the backing for that stablecoin, which has been an open question for many major centralized stablecoins in the crypto industry for a long time. And if that is indeed the case, could be cataclysmic because a lot of the industry built around Tether, for an example. The second is it creates a single point of regulatory failure, which is somewhat silly to build into a system that's supposed to be non-fragile, right? With the stroke of a pen, they could say, okay, well, this particular stablecoin is no longer allowed, and all that liquidity disappears. So if we're trying to actually create a resilient, decentralized economy, we have to ask the question, is that a wise long-term decision? Right. And I tend to think that in the worst case, no, that's a major vector of attack. And the third has to do with the long-term governance of an ecosystem, right? If you build the entire economy based on some external third party long term. You know, I do think that systems that primarily build around a centralized stablecoin may just have a governance issue, right? Because their survival is now dependent on that external entity's survival. And so people are going to change their assumptions and have a tendency to follow the will and benefit of that third party. And it kind of ruins the entire concept of decentralization long term. Now, that's not a popular opinion, but those are the risks, right? And I think that every ecosystem should really go into that open-eyed. Are there some economic inefficiencies with decentralization? Yes, there are. But that's also kind of why they exist, because they create censorship resistance, right? And in terms of centralized stablecoins, too often the liquidity and the sexiness of it really overshadows the reality that we may be inheriting something that is a systemic risk.
What do you think on that, Alex?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I tend to agree. Well, not much to it, actually.
Well, excellent. All right. Here's a good one. So, is a privacy option similar to Mimble, Wimble, or Midnight possible with Ergo? Well, okay, Joe, why don't you tackle that one? I think we all can do that, but I think you would be good to kind of give a nice breakdown of what privacy options we have.
I haven't seen any actual implementation of Midnight, so I have no idea what that looks like in practical terms. The privacy option for Ergo, is built on Sigma protocols. And I do think that long term, if we are able to get enough liquidity into mixing and we make that green buttoned enough that it makes sense for the general users to take advantage of that tool, we certainly could build a very nice privacy set. Then it depends on the amount of mixes that they choose and the depth of liquidity and the set of actors that are participating. But certainly that privacy, and as well as the use of stealth addresses is something that I would love to see built out more in the future, because that is a valuable tool set. I think that privacy is probably one of the more undervalued propositions in decentralized ecosystems. And certainly there's a lot of, propaganda in terms of how privacy is bad and we shouldn't have it. But I do think that as a tool for individuals, it's extremely valuable.
Yeah, I mean, one of the fundamental rights, I think, of an individual is the right to privacy. I think that, yeah, there can be, nefarious ways of using that ability, but I mean, it's with great power comes great responsibility, as a certain late uncle once said. What do you think about that, Alex?
Yeah, so first of all, Mimblewimble is not a privacy solution, really. If you observe mempool, restore transactions, original transactions, which are then glued in a block, and it's not providing any privacy in addition to Bitcoin, really. Midnight. I have to switch to another mic. Hopefully, something's okay. Midnight. So, I don't quite know about privacy in Midnight. I need to check. Also in reality, it depends on, popularity, right? Some ring size, basically. We actually had Zcash, right, which is in theory providing privacy, but in practice, 2% of users of UTXOs were shielded. And back then, I'm not sure about this moment. Zcash was in practice actually worse than Monero, as some research did show. Theoretically, it should be opposite. It's quite hard question, especially if we are talking about paper designs, right? Mimblewimble is not really a privacy solution. It's rather a scalability solution.
All right. Well, let's take one more question, and I think we can call it a day. So this is a good question for some people who might be just joining us for the first time. Are there developers like BTC back in the day who work on at Ergo, and how did they get compensated? Just curious. So just either Alex or Joe, I think, can answer this really well.
Sure, we have a lot of bounties out to, let's say, incentivize people that have other work but also have the time to contribute. We do have some teams that are salaried that work on core infrastructure improvements, and we do what we can to interface with the community and allow, let's say, the builders on top of the core protocol to try to have a voice and shape the future of what we support. I think that is ultimately one of the most important things is kind of having a neutral core protocol that builds a feature set that allows people to flexibly create whatever they want on top of the blockchain. So any developers out there that want to put together EIPs or ideas what support is needed, feel free to do that. And we kind of work as a community to review and figure out what's the best way to potentially support some of those feature sets.
All right, great. Okay.
Yeah, so I can add actually. It's quite complicated at the moment. So, for example, I'm not receiving anything for 1 year. And health to the moment. For others, it's could be a bounty, could be monthly rewards. It's also changing persons are working with, right? In general, so things are changing all the time. I think there will be some spendings report published, right? Soon. Hopefully. Joe, do you have maybe more information on that?
I know that there's an article that's being put together for that. Where it is in terms of the editing process, I'm not sure. I have to sync with the people working on that in terms of when it's ready to push. But that is something the community asked for, so that's what we'll do.
Excellent. All right, guys. Well, I think that's all the time we have for today. So thanks, everyone, for coming, and Happy New Year to everybody. and we will see you next week.
All right.
Thank you, everyone.
Be well.